Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Hey y'all, Marseille Martin here with a little Tampax story. One time I went on vacation in the Bahamas with some friends, and of course I got my period. I didn't want anything to stop me from living my best life on my trip, so I was like, why not be brave and try Tampax? Before that, I really just thought tampons were for adults, and I definitely thought they'd be uncomfortable. Guess what, y'all? They really aren't. It might take a few tries, but once it's in right, you shouldn't feel it, which is great. For a better way to period, just add Tampax.
Welcome to the H2P podcast here on DKPittsburghSports.com. I'm your host, Chris Carter, and it is a victory Sunday for your Pitt Panthers. They are victorious over the Clemson Tigers 27-17 at Heinz Field. They sit at 6-1 atop the ACC Coastal with a 3-0 record in the ACC. They have won four straight games, all of which they have won by multiple possessions. They are playing complete football, offense, defense, run the ball, throw the ball, get after the quarterback, stuff the run, make big plays in the secondary, limit the other big plays from the other team. This is the kind of Pitt football Pitt fans have been waiting for so long to see. And they did it on a national stage in a place where a lot of people were saying on social media, oh, this is the game where Pitt loses. Oh, this is the game where Pitt drops it. They're on a national stage. They're ranked. They're saying that people don't respect them enough. This is the game that Pitt always loses. Well, they didn't lose this time. Pat Narduzzi. We all know he's taken a lot of heat over the years. You got to give him credit. He's built the culture. He's built the program. He's built the team that is currently playing among the best in the ACC. And let me say something about that Clemson Tigers team. They may not have Trevor Lawrence. They may not have Deshaun Watson, but they are a bad team still. That defense went toe-to-toe with Georgia, the baddest defense and the baddest team in all the country, and stood tall. And Pitt went against them and stood even taller. A lot of this win says the culture of Pitt's locker room is strong, is headed in the right direction. They're confident. They believe in themselves. They're not cocky, but confident. It's not like an unfounded sense of arrogance, of superiority. No, it's a sense of we believe in ourselves that you see from these Pitt Panthers. I know Pitt fans, you got to be feeling good. And I know it's tough for Pitt fans to feel good after every win. You're sitting there with like the boogeyman is creeping over your shoulder like you're about to lose the next one. I mean, and heck, you experienced that this year. You had a huge win at Tennessee in the SEC against a good Tennessee football team. And the very next week, you lose to Western Michigan. So I get it, Pitt fans. It's been your identity for so long. But just take a step back. Breathe. Look at your team's record. Look at the highlights from that win. Read my Pitt post-game article about how Pitt is for real this year. And you know what? Even better, if you're listening to this podcast, you're trying to have that sit-back moment, sit back and listen. Courtesy of Pitt Athletics on Twitter, this is the sounds of Pitt's locker room when Carter Warren started senior starting offensive tackle and Kenny Pickett were leading Pitt's football team in the Pitt Fight song after the game at Heinz Field.
Let's get it. I said a one, a two, three, a one, two, three, four. all right, now how awesome is that? That's pretty cool, right? That was pretty dope, right? And here's the thing. You're talking about a pit team, a pit program that hasn't put it all together yet. And this was the year. I mean, I said it all leading up to this season. I'm not pulling no punches. I'm like, this is the year Pat's got to do it, right? And there have been very reasonable calls to say, you know what, Pat hasn't done it yet. But I said last year, I said in that 2020 season, I know Pitt fans are mad. It didn't go the way they wanted it to. But there's something here that people aren't seeing if they're not looking close enough. There's something special going on in that locker room. And you're seeing it develop right in front of your eyes. Pitt is coming out here playing complete football. After that loss to Western Michigan, Kenny Pickett called a team meeting. I wrote about it when it happened. And he said, you know, we have to step it up. We can't allow this. It's the way that they describe it. You know, when I talked to Kenny Pickett, when I talked to Damari Mathis and John Patricia and all these other guys, I've asked like almost everybody on the roster about this legendary meeting that Kenny Pickett called. And it sounds very much like Remember the Titans when they're like, man, we gonna be sorry, man, if we don't step it up. And it, you know, and all jokes aside, it seems like it was that kind of a moment for Pitt. Like a, hey, we want to be good this year. We want to be great this year. We want to make this a season to remember for all Pitt fans. And we can't do that if we're losing games to teams from the MAC. And sure, you lost one, but that means you got to finish strong. And they really did in this game. From top to bottom, Kenny Pickett killing it out there. Two touchdown passes, no interceptions. He's only thrown one pick in the entire season. And again, that's a Clemson defense that competes all over the place. Their defensive front, nasty. They throw several different blitzes at you. I don't care what anybody says about, oh, this isn't Clemson's year. They still got five-star talents all over the place. Their roster is full of, I'll put it this way. They have recruited more five-star talented guys in the last 2 years alone than the ACC has in the last 4 years. And I mean the rest of the ACC combined. That's how dominant Clemson has been in the recruiting game. And it only gets worse and worse and worse. Well, I guess better for Clemson, but worse for Pitt and them. But this is a huge win because guess what? Pitt had like over 30 guys there. 30 kids that were considering Pitt, guys they've offered. Who sit there like, wow, this is an environment? There were over 60,000 fans there. For all the people to say, oh, nobody ever goes to Pitt games. And people came to this game, buddy. Most attended game in 3 years. Over 3 years. And they showed up. It was on ESPN, national television. Clemson's a big game, big name, regardless of whatever you say about them. They were still 4-2 coming into this game. Their losses were Georgia and NC State. Granted, NC State, man, but they're ranked 2. This was a huge win no matter how which way you look at it. Kenny Pickett, 25 of 39, 302 yards, 2 touchdown passes. Jordan Addison, 5 catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown. And was knocked out of the game, believably put in concussion protocol. Taysier Mack, 3 catches, 59 yards, and a touchdown. Offense spread the ball all around. This was a team effort. No one player was just carrying the whole team by himself. The running game, the offensive line went into this game, and this was my big thing for the offensive line. This was a huge test for them to see, hey, okay, you beat up on UMass, you beat up on New Hampshire, you did well against Georgia Tech, you dominated Virginia Tech, but okay, now let's see how you do against a big team like Clemson. They looked like they were putting things together against Tennessee, and that was an SEC team, but I was like, eh, we'll see. Nah, this was a complete performance. True freshman running back Rodney Hammett Jr., 11 carries, 66 yards. Izzy Abaniconda, 9 carries, 56 yards. Vincent Davis, 12 carries, 30 yards. I mean, it was Vincent Davis, whatever. But yeah, he's a tough guy. I'll give it to him. Kenny Pickett with 2 gutsy third down runs in the fourth quarter. I also think it's important to note, and this is again why it's a complete win. Against the number 2 scoring defense in the country, you scored on 4 straight offensive possessions. In the second half, when you had the lead by double digits, and you needed to grind out the clock, you needed to get your defense time to rest and get out there and make some plays. The offense delivered with two touchdown drives to end the first half. They had three drives in the entire second half. They had a field goal that took 5 minutes and 46 seconds off the clock. They had a field goal that took 5 minutes and 48 seconds off the clock, both of which were in the third quarter. And when they got the ball back, up 10, 7 minutes, 56 seconds left, they ran the entire clock out. They grinded Clemson down. I don't care what anybody says, that's impressive. That's impressive against any team, against the UMasses and the New Hampshires. But in an 8 minute drive to close out the game, can't say enough about what Pitt did in this game. Servassier Dennis with the pick six on the shovel pass. And then the humility of afterwards being like, you know, it was kind of just like I was just in the right spot. You know, Coach Bates put me in the right spot at the right time, and I just happened to do it. And then the way he runs into the end zone and, you know, in the student sections there, and they're going wild. And something I think that a lot of people have always had a problem with, that turnover hoop, which they, you know, when they whenever Pitt gets a turnover on defense, they run to the sideline and they dunk in it, and the whole team rallies around them. And I've heard a lot of people like, it's so stupid, it's just so dumb. Why can't they just celebrate normally? Listen. It's actually a very smart thing, because you know what happened. As soon as Servassier Dennis scores a big game-changing touchdown, Pitt goes up 14 points. The place at Heinz Field is going wild. It's on fire. And Pitt has every reason to feel good in that moment. They're beating Clemson. You know what he did? He motioned for the entire team to follow him to the sideline. And within 20 seconds of that touchdown, the entire Pitt defense that is hyped up, celebrating, yelling, they're doing it all on Pitt's sideline around that turnover hoop. And you know what that means? No celebration penalty. So actually, really smart thing. Yes, they totally ripped it off of Miami's turnover chain, but so did everyone else in the country. But they're doing so many things right. You got to give Pat Narduzzi credit for that. Especially if you were one of the people that were super, super, supremely critical of him before. And it's fine. He's deserved the criticism. But this is a huge year. Kenny Pickett is delivering, doing what he's supposed to do. But it's not just Kenny. The defense, getting after it. Habakkuk Baldonado playing extremely well. Brandon Hill led the team with 7 tackles, had 2 pass breakups. Eric Hallett, 5 tackles, 2 pass breakups. Damari Mathis, big interception. Kalijah Kancey, a tackle for loss. Marquez Williams, 2 tackles for loss. And those should not be overlooked because they were on wide receiver screens and he sniffed it out. This was a complete team win, I tell you. This came from all over the board. And I think that Pitt fans, you really got to step back and smell the roses, because this is a fantastic time to be alive and be a Pitt fan. Now, I could keep harping this point all so long, but we got other things to talk about. I want to take a bigger picture look. I want to step back, because now Pitt is ranked. They came into this game number 23. We'll see what the AP rankings say on Sunday when they come out. But now it's time to actually talk about it. Before it was like all conjecture about what Pitt could do, what Pitt might do, blah, 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 blah. But now it's really time to talk about, where can Pitt go? How high can they ascend this season? We'll answer that right here on the H2P podcast, right after this break.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up!
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Stopping off now!
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Back here on the H2P podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, keeping it real with you on the DKPittsburghSports.com podcast platform. Remember, you can get this show and all of our shows at DKPittsburghSports.com on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, anywhere podcasts are hosted. We appreciate y'all for supporting us. Drop us 5 stars, give us some likes, give us all the love that you can. Let us know what you how you feel out there, especially you Pitt fans out there. I know you feeling good. I know you feeling good on this Sunday. But let's take a step back and look at why you should be feeling even better. Because the real question now, and I know Pitt fans didn't want to even allow themselves to ask this question because of how Pitt is, how Pitt has been. They've crushed your hearts several times again. But it's time to ask the question, how far can this team go? I look at the Pitt schedule. And it's full of all the ACC opponents they got left at home versus Miami, on the road at Duke. By the way, Miami 1-2 in the conference, 3-4 overall. Duke 0-3 in the conference, 3-4 overall. Then they get North Carolina at home. North Carolina, you was a team that was ranked pretty high this season earlier. They're 3-3 in the conference, 4-3 overall. Virginia at home, that's going to be a serious test. Brennan Armstrong's looking like a real quarterback. Virginia also the team right behind Pitt in the ACC Coastal rankings. They're 4-2 in the conference, 6-2 overall. And they finish on the road at Syracuse. The Orange, who are 1-3 in the conference, 4-4 overall. But y'all know it's bigger than just those opponents. It's about everyone else around them because now they're nationally ranked. Pitt's actually in that conversation. And there's a really good chance they're about to move up. How far they move up? Well, let's take a look. Of the nationally ranked teams, you saw certain teams do what you expected. Cincinnati almost lost to Navy. Navy was digging up in them, but they still won by 7. Oklahoma, Kansas dug up in them, but still won by 12. Alabama did what they were supposed to do. Tennessee, early on, was digging with them. It was a 7-point game at halftime, and then Alabama became Alabama in the fourth quarter and won 52-24. Ohio State at number 5, 54-7 blowout of Indiana. Michigan blew out Northwestern, so the top 6 teams, they handle their business. But that number 7 team, Penn State, losing in a 9 overtime loss to 2-5, now 3-5, Illinois. Yuck. I know Kendrick Green's talking smack to Pat Freiermuth. So they got to take a step down. Now, hear me, before anyone goes there, I'm not saying that Pitt's going to supplant Penn State. I'm not going there. I'm going through with the rankings. Give me some time. And if there's a Penn State fan listening and you're about to yell at me, stop it. Get out your feelings. It's all right. Y'all still 5-2 and got a shot. You get to play Ohio State next week. Be calm down. I'm not coming for you. Number eight team in the country, Oklahoma State, lost to Iowa State. So they got to come down. Oregon at number 10, hung on for a 3-point victory on the road against UCLA, unranked. Ole Miss at 12, beat LSU. Notre Dame at 13, beat USC. Wake Forest had a basketball score of 70-56 over Army. What a bizarre game. They're the number one team in the ACC right now at 7-0, 3-0 in the conference. And if all things stay the same, they will be the champions of the ACC Atlantic. There's still a long way to go, though, but they came into this weekend ranked 16. Looks like they're going to jump up a bit. Coastal Carolina from the Sun Belt Conference
came into the weekend ranked 14th. They lost to Appalachian State. So they're coming down. Texas A&M at 17, at ranked 17. They win by 30 over South Carolina. NC State, though, another one of the teams that was at the top of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Atlantic Division of the ACC. You know what I mean. Sorry, I'm clicking between a lot of screens here to make sure I'm getting all the scores right. But NC State went on the road and lost to Miami, who's now 3-4, and that was their first ACC win. NC State's got to come down. San Diego State handled their business at 22, so did UTSA, but Purdue at 25 lost, but who cares? They're behind Pitt. But the bottom line is four teams, ranked above Pitt, lost their games. Now, does Pitt move above all of them? No. Coastal Carolina? Maybe. I can see Coastal Carolina. NC State? Definitely. I definitely see NC State dropping after that one. But maybe Pitt also jumps over San Diego State, even though they're undefeated and playing in the Mountain West, because Clemson's still an impressive opponent. And now you start to ask the one, I got a lot of these questions in the live file on DKPittsburghSports.com during the game. It's like, Chris, you know, is the playoff a possibility? Let me stop you right there. Let's not get into that just yet. Because that's also good. Western Michigan loss still is going to last on you. Now, Western Michigan won't, if Pitt wins out and does all the things they're supposed to do and wins the ACC, and they're at the end of the season, they're what, 12-1, 13-1, whatever it would be if they win all their games. They're 6-1 now. They got 6 games left. Or they got 5 games left. And then they would have a conference game. So they have 6 more wins. So they'd be 12-1 if they win out all their the rest of their 5 games, go to the ACC championship game and beat whoever's there. They'd be 12-1. They'd be in the conversation. I think it's important to note, no college football playoff since it began in 2015. No college football playoff has been without an ACC team. Granted, those have been Florida State and Clemson pretty much every year, but no college football playoff has been without an ACC team. Maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year because they'll look at Cincinnati and say, well, they went into this weekend ranked number 2, at least by ESPN. Also, please note that I was reading ESPN's rankings, not the AP's. But when I look at this, you see teams like Cincinnati, teams like Oklahoma, you know, are they going to have other more losses? Oklahoma's still undefeated, dealing with a quarterback switch crisis. Alabama's still up in that mix. Ohio State is still up in that mix. Michigan is undefeated. Collision course with Ohio State. Can you feel me? There's a lot of teams that are going to be up in that conversation to make the final 4 teams, which is why the college football playoffs should be expanded. I've been saying that for years. I think 8's the perfect number. You get all 5 of the Power 5 conferences, you get a group of 5 team, and then you get two at-large bids. Bing, bang, boom, you have an excited playoff period. And also, since the college football playoffs have been around, all 3 of those games are always among the most watched broadcasts in all of television. Not just sports, all of television. And normally, it's like in the top 100 broadcasts in a year, I think 72 of them are sports, 68 of them are NFL games, 3 of them are college football playoff games, and then one's like a college bowl game. But no other sport carries that kind of leverage. But anyways, back to the point of Pitt. I'm not so sure that enough teams can lose their spot, even if Pitt wins out, wins the ACC, and blows out let's say they blow out every opponent that they face from here out. They don't have a closer than a 2 possession game for the rest of the way. I don't think it'd still be enough to supplant a lot of these teams that are up there that are probably going to keep winning throughout the season. Now, if some of those teams drop, we'll explore that then. But what will happen is they will get a New Year's Day 6 bowl. And I know there's people out there thinking, oh, buddy, what about Penn State? I think that would be exciting. if you look back on the, if you remember on the website, dkpittsburghsports.com, Corey Geiger, our Penn State beat writer, and I collabed for an article, and he said, oh, it's not a rivalry anymore. No one wants to see that. I'm like, listen, buddy, I got family that's Penn State fans. Please forgive them. But when they play Pitt, it is war in my family. And there's all sorts of track shock. And the thing is, when Penn State wins, they're like, oh, oh. They try to act like they're superior. But it's also like, okay, well, what have you done with that superiority? You ain't been to the playoffs one time. You're always the little brother in the Big Ten anyways. And yes, Penn State's been a much more successful program over the past several years. But what have you done with it? They're a lot closer to Pitt than they realize. And I think right now, this year, if they played, Pitt would smack them. It wouldn't even be like 2016 when Pitt barely won. It was an amazing game and James Conner was on fire. No, I think like Pitt would put the hurting on them boys. Just the way that Penn State's playing. Now maybe Penn State turns it around and Sean Clifford becomes an amazing quarterback overnight. But I think they could do some damage there. But this is the point. This is a year, a signature year that Pat Narduzzi needs to win. Because you're thinking beyond this year, right? You're thinking about, this isn't just about winning the college football playoff this year and going for it all and being the national champions. That all sounds great. And that's a nice pipe dream. But the realistic goal that is in front of Pitt right now is to prove that it can be a competitive major football program in the country. And you had all those recruits sitting in Heinz Field watching a ruckus environment and a pro football stadium in a big-time television performance, and you get a big-time win with big-time plays. Do that a few more times this season. Win the ACC. Then go to whatever big-time bowl game that you get and face a ranked big-time opponent in a neutral site and beat them in a confident way that says, this is signature Pitt football. Go on to have Kenny Pickett earn Heisman consideration, and however much of a hater you want to be, he's in the Heisman consideration. He's got 23 touchdown passes, only one interception, and he's leading his team to a 6-1 record in the ACC. That's enough to get consideration. I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm just saying he's in the consideration. But do all those things, which are very reachable right now. They can bang with any team in the ACC. They can beat any team in the ACC. Not just bang with, not just hang with. They can beat confidently any team in this ACC conference right now. Do all those things. And those recruits will start be looking over like, oh, what's that over there? I can have fun with that? I can go there and win like that? Maybe I want to hop on the new hot thing in the ACC. Now, Clemson's still the supreme recruiting power. As I said, they've got more five-star recruits in the last 2 years than the rest of the conference has in the last 4 years combined. But this is how you start to build. And this is why, just because Pitt fans were frustrated. And not that your frustrations weren't warranted. But a good college football program is built on consistency. And you can't get consistency if you're changing your coach all the time. It's just a reality. You got to build culture. And it takes time to build culture. And doing it the right way, not paying for it like some of the bigger schools that have been like that have over the years. Pitt's doing it the right way right now. Enjoy it. It's a fun run. And if they do it the right way and they win, maybe they start to win more recruiting battles. And when you win some more recruiting battles, you start to build more of your program back up. Maybe you get some guys at the transfer portal that are like, hey, I want to win with you guys over there. Then maybe you're talking. And you start to take the steps to being a more consistent football program. And not just this is a one-year thing. It's a step-by-step journey. They can't look past Miami. And I apologize for cutting off their fight song in the first segment, because right at the end of the fight song, they said, beat Miami on three. 1, 2, 3, beat Miami. It's already on. Kenny Pickett said, I'm about to go have a cold one. And then it's on to Miami. They're focused. They really believe in the hype that Pat Narduzzi has given them in how to focus, go 1-0 one week, and then have to go 1-0 the next week. The culture is working. Enjoy that, Pitt fans. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the win. Don't let the stresses of yesteryears make you too timid to enjoy this right now. Because if they do what they're supposed to do, say they go 12-1 this year, even 11-2, maybe they win the ACC, they go to New York State, they have a big bowl game. You're gonna regret not enjoying it as best as you can. And then who knows? Maybe in years to come, this becomes the season that kickstarted everything for Pitt to have a resurgent program and be maybe one of the better football programs in the ACC. That's all we have for you today on the HTP podcast. I know it's a lot longer of an episode than normal, but I wanted to give all my reactions, all my emotions, all my hypeness to y'all. It's in the middle of the night. Kenny Pickett said he was going to have a cold one after the game when he was asked on ESPN. Guess what? I'm going to have a cold one in a little bit here. I still haven't eaten dinner. It's like 12:30 in the morning. Goodness me, I'm going to eat some spaghetti I got left over and drink me a good IPA. But do check out our work on DKPittsburghSports.com. I'm Chris Carter, your host of the HTP podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques, also on Instagram at Carter Critiques. Read my work at DKPittsburghSports.com. We've got a lot more stuff coming your way this week with Pitt. And just go back and read that article for all the great quotes from all the players, the coaches. It was a heck of a night. And Pitt fans, you have yourself a heck of a weekend. I'll be back in your ears next week talking after Pitt takes on Miami at Heinz Field. We'll get to that then. Remember, Pitt fans, enjoy the ride. And H2P.